tide is rising fast. Won't you take the time now to remember your great past? America, America, the tide can still be turned. Open up your eyes and see the
In the West, there are still a few good men left, men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old, proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old, strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'd like to take tonight and use it as an introductory period, the first half, and use the last half to get into the meat of the next lecture, which will be on identity. Who we are, who our God is, who the enemy is. Now, I may tell you things that you haven't heard, and I didn't come to argue. No one of us has all the information. It's time we put a stop to the bickering over trivia. We're down now to where it's real serious. I think in the end times, everybody, every white man, will see the true picture. We have fallen so far, like Ezra and Nehemiah said, we have sinned against our God, and we are so low that we have to pick up the pieces. No one of us has all those pieces. Some people will say there are good enemy and bad enemy. Some will say they're all bad. Some will identify them. I will tell you where I'm coming from, and I'll gladly listen to what you have to say, because I think in the end, in the very end, we're all coming together, all of the white people, or you wouldn't be here. Now, I have a few slides. I always try to use a few slides to loosen things up a little bit. I have a good one here. since Jewish communism just failed. And when you talk about this thing, this is the way you should talk about it. It wasn't Russian communism, it is Jewish communism. And right now, the biggest problem George Bush has, he doesn't know where to send the check. And this is what's happening to us. Again, more money from the taxpayers because communism has failed. When you talk to people, you tell them it's Jewish communism that failed. The biggest social experiment in 2,000 years, conducted by the Jews, God's chosen people, ? And it failed. Make sure the people you talk to know. Somebody asked me, what can we do? What can we do about these things? What chance do we have? We're one lone individual. Well, let me tell you, they're paranoid. You know they're paranoid when they try to kill you. And they've tried. When they follow you around. When the helicopter comes over your house. When they drop little things that look like dog droppings on your property. And their transmitters. And they're trying to pick up information just like they did on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. You know they're paranoid. They know their time. They know who they are. The enemy knows. And I'm going to identify it for you that after the next lecture, I don't think you'll have any doubts as to who the enemy is. I brought these along more or less as a joke for you. Here's another one. Will the people in Russia wake up? There's been a lot of material distributed in Russia, just like here. If you read Dr. Coleman et al., Pamyat, the Patriot organization in Russia, has done the same thing we're doing, passing information. You've got to get on the offensive. You've got to stop thinking that we can't do anything. We can all do a lot. And it's to educate people. It's even to let the Jew know that we know. Now I have another one, and this one's a little more serious. You ever see a white man, a black woman, or a white woman and a black man? And what are the churches doing today? They're condoning it. This is Christianity. I started to tell you a little bit about myself. I know my identity. I also, from the reading that I have done, the research, know and will tell you that Christianity and every other religion are totally phony. Now you might say, that's not true. Christianity is based on Judeo-Christianity. Christianity was established formally in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. With Constantine and all prelates, remember that when they got together? And they created a universal religion. Universal. Catholic means universal. I was raised Catholic. I never read the Bible till I was over 50 years old. Catholic Church doesn't want you to read the Bible. The bestseller every year is the Bible. There's got to be over 100 different Bibles. The Arabs laugh at us. Because there's so much difference. There's a Masonic Bible. There's all kinds of Bibles. A lot of difference. I'll tell you a big difference between the Catholic Bible and the government issue. This is the government issue. This is a King James Bible. Government approved by King James. The Catholic Church took the Ten Commandments and did away with the second commandment that has to do with the idols, the statues, the pictures, the trinkets. Took it completely out. Check a Catholic Bible. And they moved all the rest of the commandments up one. In order to get another commandment, they took the tenth commandment and they split it and said, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife as the ninth commandment, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods as the tenth. So you have two commandments in the Catholic Church about coveting. Many, many people don't know this. But you see, today, the Catholic Church has everybody praying to the Mother. All over the world, pray to the Mother. Where does this come from? This comes from Nimrod when you go back into paganism. I have a lot of material. I have a complete lecture on the Catholic Church that I brought along. If we have the time, if you want extra time, I can run through it for you. Much of it is on slides, just like this one. On this slide, about 10 days ago, a preacher in an independent church in East Stroudsburg was supposed to marry a man that was half black to a white girl. He refused to do it. When he found out that this kid, this boy, was half black, he flat refused. That took a lot of guts. Did you call him? Well, he lives about 50 miles from me, and when I go back, I'm taking a lot of this material to him. There was so much flack over that, they had threatened him with a lawsuit. It may still go to court. And of course, the media said, there is nothing in the Bible about this. There is nothing in the Bible about this. I happen to have a track which we can reproduce. Do you have a copy machine here? Mixed marriages. Pardon?
One might be available tomorrow.
Mixed marriages, busing, integration. In Deuteronomy, so you know where it is. God, through Moses, said, quote, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, other races. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto the son. This commandment was given to the descendants of Noah about 1423. But you see, the media, the power of the media, is against this man. This man needs your support. And when we go back, when I go back, he's going to get a lot of support. But the media can do this. So it can destroy it. It always tries to destroy our people. This is another quickie to tell you who's behind this Russian thing. For 40 years, more than 40 years, the end of the war, we've had the Cold War going. All that money could have been spent all over the world improving living conditions for all people. The Cold War was phony. Communism was born and nurtured right out of New York City by the international bankers. Jacob Schiff, Paul Warburg. If you take a look at Israel, Israel is the biggest welfare state in the whole world. Now Russia is going to become one. Don't think for a minute that this thing is over in Russia or with the Soviet. Everybody has been lulled asleep, and this is exactly what they had said when Khrushchev was a boy, and they said, at the very end times, we will lull them to sleep. We will make such fantastic overtures to them that we will completely pull down their guard. Isn't that happening in this country now? There's over 30,000 nuclear weapons in Russia and the other republics. Who's got the key that can fire them? Some yo-yo can go in there and push the button and we'll have World War III. We'll have total devastation. Can you imagine what 30,000 nuclear weapons will do to this country? No, the danger is still there from these people. It's important whether you're going to court, whether you're going to the bank, whether you're going to the store, that you begin now to talk out. Speak up about Jewish communism failing, about this biggest social experiment, how it cost all this money, 60 million Christians at least, so-called Christians. The reason I say I am not a Christian, I don't really know. The more I read, the more I don't know. The more I have to go back and check. We know the book is adulterated. At one time, the Catholic Church wanted to burn the book. They saved it by one vote. If you read the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, he'll tell you when he was a boy in the 1700s, he had to get under the table. And the tablecloth come down and they had a light under there and they pulled the curtains down and they put somebody at the door and they locked the door and they had a watchman there because it was forbidden to read the Bible. The Catholic Church, the King, forbid people to read the Bible. This is a fascinating book, the bestseller, yet the least read. Nobody understands it. Once in a while you find somebody knows a little bit about it. What did the Christ say? Study. Don't just read it. Study the scriptures so that you might be proven worthy. You have got to really study. Every time I pick up Genesis, something new pops out. Something new just seems to stand right out there. And then when I read literature from the Rosicrucians and from the Masons, it fits. Everything seems to fit in. And I'll show you some of this. How what I tell you about who you are is proven by the enemy themselves and what they have to say. Now I have another slide here. Can you all read that? Can't read it? I'll read it for you. I like my glasses. 65 years old and that's the glasses I wear. This is a working definition. This comes from the United States Civil Service Commission. This will tell you exactly where you stand. Is that better? Can you read it? The foregoing incidents illustrate the phenomenon of central concern in this statement. Namely, intimidation and violence against racial and religious minorities that is rooted in unmitigated bigotry. This is the federal definition of bigotry. A bigot is one obstinately or intolerantly devoted to his own church, party, belief, or opinion. Bigotry, in the context of this statement, is a rigid intolerance of differences and of those who hold such differences. It is this blind, unreasoned intolerance that makes racial and religious bigotry a form of racial and religious discrimination. When manifested in violent or intimidating ways, racial and religious bigotry represent a desire to deny the rights and freedoms of persons of different creed, color, race, or national origin. In sum, racial and religious bigotry result frequently in tactics to destroy enemies who are perceived as enemies only because they are different. These tactics include a variety of efforts to intimidate, frighten, injure, ridicule, and on occasion kill those who hold different religious beliefs, subscribe to different cultural values, or exhibit racial characteristics unlike those of the bigot. The particular focus of this statement, therefore, is upon the potential and actual denial of civil rights by groups or individuals whose racial and religious bigotry foment violence and social disruption. This commission, the United States Civil Rights Commission, is concerned when the promulgation of hate and hostility based on extremist concepts of racial purity or religious certitude leads to illegal acts of force and violence. Lest the vision of America as a democratic and pluralistic society become a nightmare of hatred and divisiveness, we urge a heightened public awareness of the threat to civil rights posed by proponents of racial and religious bigotry. We are all bigots in their minds. Now, what can you do about it? You heard it. Take a copy of this. Write a letter to your congressman. File documents in the court. But you can do something about it. Everybody's concerned. Every one of us are considered a bigot by their definition. And we let them get away with it. We have got to change our attitude from one of defeatist, from sitting back. You've got to lash out and swing. And I'll tell you, they get out of your way. They hate me with a passion. They've tried to kill me. They followed me with helicopters, with cars. People followed me in Denver to the airport. But they sure as hell respect you. Take it. Send it. Put it in the newspaper. Are we all bigots if we don't agree with their theory? You see, go back to Ezra and Nehemiah. What did Ezra say? Oh my God, we have sinned. We have gotten completely away from the law. We have taken their daughters and their sons into the bloodline, and blood has touched blood. Read what Ezra said. You see, every time we let these strange people live amongst us, we are the ones that compromise. We're the ones that give up. But do something about it. Sit down and write a letter. You got a lot of talk stations. Now, the knowledge The knowledge becomes the power. Use the knowledge. I've used it. I've used it time and again. I've used it in the courts. I've gone into courts and I'd be shaking in my boots. But I have learned to go into the court to where today I think I could go in and represent you, any one of you, much better than any attorney. But you have got to do it. You've got to step out and swing. Stay within the law, but swing back. You can take handouts. You can go down to a truck stop. There's a bunch of crisis letters put out of Metairie, Georgia. The Truth at Last, Ed Fields. He must have 50 or 60 crisis letters, every one of them important. You can take this, you can reproduce it for very little. Go to a truck stop. Hand them out. Parking lots. Let your kids take them to school. You've got to start to rock the boat. Colonel Gale said, do you know Colonel Gale? Colonel Gale was one of the first identity men after the war. Colonel Gale was an aide to General MacArthur. He was a lieutenant colonel at 20-some years old during World War II. When he came out, he too had experiences and learned about it. And he said, rock the boat, hell. He said, I want to upset the boat. And you see, it's people like this, it's people that have the guts to get out there and do these things. You have got to take the offensive action. I was sued for $15 million plus five more that was attributable to somebody else that would have gone to me. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? My daughter, the youngest daughter, had moved away from home, got a job. You know how kids are when they're 16, 17, 18. Bang, they want to go. She was 18 years old. She moved out to a housing development. She got a job. Got her own apartment. Couldn't make it. I was in Colorado at the time. That's when I met Pete. My wife was gone. She had moved back to the house. She got her friends to move back with her. When they were finished moving all her furniture, the friends had a private party. They bought a keg of beer. For some reason, these kids at that age have to have their beer. Now, had I been home, it would never have happened. Some 15-year-old kid crashes the party. This is another thing that happens. These kids, whenever there's a beer party, they seem to know about it, and they crash the party. The kid proceeds to get really drunk. Now, my daughter did not serve him. She went ahead and left him stay there. Somebody had stolen a bottle of whiskey at one of the motels or one of the honeymoon hotels. And this kid just picked up the bottle and started drinking it. He went outside, and his friend with him had the keys to his girlfriend's car. This was a state cop's own personal car, Pennsylvania state cop's car. The state trooper's daughter gave the boyfriend the keys, no driver's license. They take off and they go up to a bar and they buy two more six packs. And on the way back, 2.5 hours later, they end up in the woods. I was the only one that had insurance. I had homeowner's insurance. and I made the mistake of saying, well, this is an insurance. I'm going to be protected by the insurance company. I didn't know much about it. I didn't know much law then. I spent the next nine months learning by doing. The kid, to this day, is a quadriplegic. Now, what happened? We're 27 miles from the Scranton Federal Courthouse. They took the case to Philadelphia. They put it in the federal court because they thought they could get more money. If you live out of state, and if your damages are over $10,000, you can sue for more money in the federal court. And by coming out of the hills of the Poconos, where they would have gotten $20,000 maybe in a state court, they can get several million in a federal court in Philadelphia, where the Negroes are sitting in judgment on you. This is an interesting story because it'll tell you a little bit about law and what you should do, what you can do. Now, my nature is scrappy to begin with. I love a good fight. I used to take those airplanes and ring those airplanes out. When I was a student, I could whip most of the instructors in flight school with a jet airplane. I was in the first all-jet class at Willie Field, Williams Field in Chandler, Arizona, that went from T-6s to F-80 jets. And I loved that. Well, we went, told the attorney, look, you've got it in the wrong court, wrong venue. It belongs in Scranton. We'll take care of it. I left. I had a tractor trailer then, and I was gone for 4 months, or 4 weeks. And I come back, you know, no mail, call them, no chain, we're going to do it. 2 weeks later, it still wasn't done. I had no mail, so I went to Philadelphia, and I pulled a case. You can always go back to the clerk of the court, pull a case. You sign for the case, you take it, you review what's been filed. It wasn't done. I called him up and used a few hot words on him. He said, we're going to do it right now. And he sent the motion in to change the venue. And the judge said, why didn't you do this before? Mr. Farrell had all the time in the world to do it. Now, here's an insurance company lawyer supposed to be looking out for me. They don't look out for you. If you got homeowner's insurance, you better learn how to protect yourself. They look out for themselves. They wanted the case in Philadelphia because he lived in Philadelphia. He didn't want to have to travel back and forth 100 and some miles to Scranton. So for 3 months, they would send me letters, telephone calls. They threatened my wife. They said, you're looking down the barrel of a gun. You're both going to go to jail. We wouldn't make depositions. Now, this is a civil case. You have to be subpoenaed to make a deposition. That much I knew. There was something wrong. They wouldn't subpoena me. They sent me a letter. They sent me a threatening letter. They called us up and said, we're going to be in Scranton on such and such a day, and you will be there. Well, my wife was about to come totally unglued, scared to death. And I said, like hell, we're not going there. Wait till they subpoena us. There's something I know I have heard about, a 100-mile rule or law. They can't subpoena you over 100 miles. I just have to find it. You know where it was? In the criminal code, Title 18, is a paragraph. In a civil case, you cannot be subpoenaed over 100-mile distance out of that district unless the judge will sign a subpoena. And the judge would not sign the subpoena. And so for 3 months, I kept these people at bay. Insurance company attorney hated me as much as the lawyer for the other side. But you see, I was always there. I was always hitting them. Just a jab. They wasted a lot of money trying to get us, trying to fool us, trying to lie to us that you have to go make a deposition. Finally, I forced the other side to the point where he had nothing left to do but file for summary judgment against me. And when I heard this, I went down there, and the three of us, two attorney, my own attorney against me, and the attorney for the other side, and we went up before the bar and the federal judge. And the insurance attorney said, "Mr. Farrell's here now, Your Honor," because he was going to rule on those motions. And he recognized me, and I don't know why I did it, but I said, "What the hell am I doing in your court? This thing happened 27 miles from the Scranton courthouse, and I'm 140 miles down here. Why?" And he said, "Well, a kid needs money. Now you learn to set the people up. You learn to set them up, and you keep notes of violations of your rights. Always shoot for that possibility if you're working with the law." I said, "I'll make a deposition. We're here now. We're going to make the depositions." So we went over to one of their offices, and we sat down. They get their pencils out and tape recorders and everything. And I said, "I don't have anything to tell you. I was in Colorado when it happened." My wife said, "I don't have anything to tell you. I was gone for a week when it happened." Now you see, learn to play poker. They wanted that deposition so badly, and I had nothing to tell them. And I kept them at bay for 3 months. Well, the trial started. They got all these people up there on the stand on this thing. When all the testimony's over, they took a recess. The insurance company attorney called me in and said, "I've got to have a statement from you before we go in there and give this to the jury." And something rang a bell. Why? The judge must want this. And I said to him, the only thing I said was, nobody waives my constitutional rights. If I lose, I'm coming after you. I said, "You have no evidence except one piece of paper from the state cop that investigated the accident." He tried to get me to say, "Give them the money that the insurance company can pay. If you lose, you're going to be subject to a $15, $20 million judgment. Give them the money." He went behind my back, because when the judge heard that I had nothing, that I wasn't there, he had to drop me from the case. He went behind my back to my daughter and said, "Give them the money." My daughter said, "What? Give them the money? It's too big a gamble." She said, "Like hell." Now you see, if you're found 1% guilty, you are responsible for all the money on a suit. And so I had harassed the lawyer on the other side. I'd go into the courthouse, always with a book, how to beat the IRS and this kind of stuff. I had a lot of handouts made up. Now, it's against the law to give handouts in or around a federal courthouse, and never gave them out. But I had them. And I would lay it down, see, near him, and I'd walk away from it so he could see it. And I had him on edge all the time. And finally he lost his temper. Because I found the kid, I went back, did my homework, found the kid that bought the beer. And my daughter had admitted on the stand that she must have bought the beer underage. And I went back and got the receipt and brought the kid in there and put him on the stand, see, without telling the other side. Now you got to understand, these are all stage productions in a court. Each side is supposed to know what the other side has. And when I slipped this kid in there, he completely blew it, and I knew I had him. You've got to get him to that point. After the recess, the judge picked up the papers and he said, I'm going to throw this case out for lack of evidence. And it was all over. On the guy that served me, when he stopped at my place and I had lived out in the country, he said, are you Bud Farrell? I said, who are you? He said, I'm a federal marshal. Are you Bud Farrell? I said, give me your identification. Are you Bud Farrell? And by this time I'm screaming and cursing him. Give me your GD identification. 3 times I asked him. Now he made a mistake. He rolled the window down and he had stopped the engine and there's nobody else there. And I get up real close and I roll up my fist asking for his identification. He was a few years older than me. And he started to shake. And he pulled his wallet out. First he told me he was a federal marshal. Then he said he's a assistant federal marshal. And then he said, here. And he's shaking and he pulled a card out. He said, I'm a retired Philadelphia cop. And I have the job of delivering these papers. You know what I did? Again, knowledge is the power. I took Title 18. I got the numbers. I filed a criminal complaint against him. Not once, but twice. You file it with the federal attorney. You give the FBI a copy. You can give the paper a copy. You can give anybody a copy. But you have got to learn to do this. I have other stories that are great and have a lot more punchlines. What I'm trying to do is show you that you can win. Here's a good one. Even attorneys call me up and ask me for information. And I send them the information that the Patriots send to me. Now this man back here, he's got a piece of paper where the IRS is incorporated in the state of Delaware. Don't you think we all need this? They're incorporated. I took Title V in the federal code and I look at the organization of the Treasury Department and the IRS is not part of government. It is not a government agency. But you see, by taking the material and absorbing the knowledge becomes the power. The man was a Mason, and this is interesting too. He looked at me and he's trying to get out of this awkward situation. He's scared to death. He said, did you travel? I said, yeah. He said, which direction do you travel? Do we have a Mason in here, a former Mason? Which direction do you travel? Well, I said, you know, where did Christ travel? Now he thinks I'm one of them. When you hear that terminology, which way do you travel? The proper answer is, I travel east. And if you give them that indication, now you're a Brother Mason. Now I have the Masonic Oath. I got a complete lecture on the Masonic organization. It is a Luciferian religion. And I'll prove it to you by the words of Albert Pike. Oh, what's the doctor's name that was in there?
Mackey.
I have taken the whole oath, and I have made up a brief that you can use when you go in the courthouse. Always look for the ring. Always try to find out if he's a Mason. You see, they have taken an oath to a foreign power. They respect no boundaries except the world boundary. And you can have them thrown off the court. You can get them to dismiss themselves from the court. Now, your friend up there did that, didn't he? Up in Scranton. When you see the information on the Masons, you're going to wonder, My God, I don't have a chance. Here's a form notice of felony. Whenever somebody does something to you from government, don't fight them. Don't talk. Don't make a plea. But write it all down up here. Because whatever they do, 9 chances out of 10, it's going to be unlawful. It might be legal, but it's unlawful. Something can be legal and not be lawful until you challenge it, like the Federal Reserve note. I have this. You can get a copy of this tomorrow or tonight, wherever you can make copies. I have 3 copies here. Somebody can have it. It's a notice of felony. I got another big one. And Pete, you can use this, and I'll give you a copy of it. I read about your article, your fight out there over the homosexuals. And for your information, all the churches have gotten together, and they want to accept homosexuality as well as any other sexual thing as a gift from God, the Episcopalian Church. That anything in the sexual line, it's pleasure, we should accept it as a gift from God. This is your ammunition against the hate crime laws. You can see how they have already labeled you. They've already labeled you as a bigot. The United States Congress has declared the Bible the Word of God. Can you read that? Public Law 97-280. 4th of October, 1982, joint resolution. This is the law of the land, this book. And what is in this book is the law of the land. It is the most racial book ever written. It's law. These idiots down there in the Congress had no idea what they were doing. They never read the book either. When I went through this book and started to study it, I am amazed. I found there are hundreds of places where there are conflicts. But the Father left the basic information there for us. All through the centuries when the Catholic Church could have burned it and kicked it out, it stayed in the book. Why? It's the only thing we've got. History doesn't have the records. They burnt the records. Or the records are buried in the basement of the Vatican. I have this. There's an explanation. I have another 2 slides on it. We won't put them on. But there's an explanation, Pete. You could have fought that thing out there. You can still do it with this material. And you can file charges against them for violating. You can file a notice of felony against them for violating that law. You can sue, which would be better yet. So you might try to get some money. You've got to file lawsuits. You've got to file notices of felony. You've got to file writs of prohibition. Every time something's done to you, I have a young attorney coming to me for information. And he said, Bud, that stuff works. It works. It's not mine. I got it from people like you. But I had been able to put it together and hand it out when people need it. And here it is. Whereas the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people. Whereas deeply held religious convictions springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation. Whereas biblical teachings inspire concepts of civil government that are contained in our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, and so on, resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, that the President is authorized and requested to designate 1983 as National Year of the Bible. In recognition of both the formative influence that Bible has been for our nation and our national needs to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. You know what the teachings are? There is no homosexuality. Go to Leviticus. It's an abomination. The people are to be killed, and their blood is on their own head. That's the teachings right out of the book. There is no interracial marriage. I'll give you the more references tomorrow out of the Bible. Separate yourselves from these people. This rainbow culture that these people are trying to force down our throats isn't working. But you see, the Jew can only do what God Almighty lets him do. Until you start to absorb what's in this book and understand it and fight back. Again, the knowledge. It is so amazing when you have the knowledge. You sit there and laugh at these people when you go to court. Had the Congress known what's in the book, they too would have outlawed the book. This, to me, will beat any hate crime law they can devise. Public Law 97-280. You can talk about the enemy, the Jew, as much as you want. How much time do I have here? Can you stop the clock for a minute? I've come to the conclusion that the Christ, and I don't know his name. I know that term is used, and I use the term Yeshua, Greek term. I don't even know if that's correct. I've come to the conclusion he had the demons tempting him, and he had the sons of Satan harassing him. And the enemy has not changed. He had the spiritual temptation, and he's got the physical harassment. And that's the way it is in the book. Tomorrow, I'll show you more about it. I wish I had 3 more hours. Thank you very much.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide broadcast network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley, Working Horse and Cattle Ranch, where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7-day-week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Square America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next and hopes you will too.
Sweet and so fair, her father. The princess, she grew in both beauty and ease. The time had now come for her 50th birthday. The prophets had told of the heartache and tears that would do the kingdom in her 50th year. She was fair and she was happy, so young and so free. Beware of seducers, my pretty dee. Too late, she has fallen down under the spell. She appears to be dying, and the kingdom.
Sweet dog.